This is HMM correspondent Anna Cowie, and I'm here with David Carpenter, a professor of environmental health sciences at the University at Albany and a public health physician. Hi, David.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
To get us started, there was a law passed on Monday by the Albany County Legislature called the Albany County Clean Air Law. Can you talk about how this law plays into public health?
Well, this law was really focused on two concerns in Albany County. There's the Norlite plant in Cohoes that for a couple of years was burning firefighting foam that contained perfluorinated compounds that nobody knew about. Apparently, even the Department of Environmental Conservation didn't know about it. It was under contract with the Department of Defense. These perfluorinated compounds, these are the things that have contaminated Hoosick Falls and a variety of other places. They're the components that are in Scotchgard, in Teflon. They're not very flammable. They contain fluoride, and the idea that you would burn something that's used to suppress fires is ludicrous. And especially if it's being done without anybody knowing about it. We know that these compounds, when they're subjected to heat, they're not destroyed very easily. And what they do is break down into smaller compounds, most of which have never really been studied carefully for health effects. We know that the parent compounds are very dangerous. They increase risk of cancer. They alter thyroid function. There's developing evidence that the effects on brain and behavior. So these things should never be incinerated, especially in a urban area and particularly in a plant that's right next to a public housing project for relatively low-income people. The other concern in Albany County was the Lafarge cement plant that had a proposal to burn old tires. Now, old tires are a problem everywhere because nobody knows how to get rid of them, but they contain many, many hazardous substances. And the idea of burning them and spewing out the resulting air pollution over the community is certainly something that nobody was anxious to have happen. So those were the two specifics on the Clean Air Act, but the implications go for many other things with a great desire to protect our air, because air pollution is a very dangerous threat to human health, especially to the health of children and older people. And we know that people that are exposed to air pollution are much more vulnerable to COVID-19. So that's yet another reason to be careful about approving incineration of things that are going to increase air pollution.
What can people expect to see from the law when it's implemented?
Well, already there's been a ban on the combustion of this firefighting foam from the Norlite plant. And the burning of tires at Lafarge has not yet been done. So it isn't that we're going to see an immediate impact by those two plants. But what we do hope to see is a greater attention to the whole issue of point sources of air pollution, because they do adversely affect human health. And these are just two outrageous examples of point sources that would increase air emissions. But we hope that this law will help draw attention to how serious air pollution is, and that will prevent any additional sources of excessive exposure.
And what are your thoughts on this law coming from a public health perspective?
Well, air pollution is an enormous threat to public health, and it isn't just from plants like these two. Air pollution coming from automobile exhaust is a major automobiles and trucks. It's a major problem. It's one of the reasons why, from a public health point of view, going to electric vehicles, going to less polluting sources of energy is a very, very important step in the right direction. There may be other concerns about moving to new technology with other threats that we don't really understand yet, but we very clearly understand the threats of air pollution. We have got to find ways of reducing air pollution from whatever source, but particularly from large incinerators that are going to give a local contamination of the residents that live around those sites.
This law was just passed. What does this mean for the future of public health and what that looks like for Albany? And in broader terms, for the region, what should people be focusing on and finding the most important when they're thinking about new laws to create?
Well, this law is just a start. This law is to prevent something that was expected to be happening in the next few months from these two plants. But it doesn't do anything to stop other sources of air pollution. And I've already mentioned that, you know, diesel trucks are a major problem. Just exhaust from cars are a major problem. People are living around any site that is burning fossil fuels. All of these things are releasing air pollutants that are hazardous to health. They increase the risk of asthma in children. They increase the risk of respiratory infections of people at all ages. And they increase the risk of lung cancer and cardiovascular disease. It's interesting that the major human health effect of air pollution is not the respiratory effects, but it's an increase in cardiovascular disease, because the air pollutants go into the lung, but they generate reactive oxygen species that travel around the body. They attack the blood vessels and increase the risk of having a heart attack or a stroke. So we've got to find ways of reducing air pollution from whatever sources. This law is a start at preventing an increase in air pollution from two specific, clearly hazardous events. But we have a long way to go. We have other landfills that are causing air pollution. We have other industries that are causing air pollution. And the automobiles that we all drive contribute to that as well. So we have a long way to go before we solve the problem of air pollution.
You've been doing a lot of research in terms of how air pollution affects people and what living near hazardous waste sites can result in. Can you expand on some of your research findings?
Well, I've had major air pollution studies in Pakistan, in Karachi, Pakistan, and in Saudi Arabia. Now, you might say, why do you go to these countries to study air pollution when we got a big problem at home? Well, the magnitude of the air pollution in these countries is much, much greater than we have in the U.S. But in these countries, there's little attention to what we know about the hazards of air pollution. And to get the attention of the people in those countries, you really have to demonstrate how hazardous air pollution is on their people. So, for example, what we've shown in Karachi, Pakistan, and we're showing now in our studies in Saudi Arabia, is that there are some days when air pollution levels are sky high relative to other days. On the days where air pollution is sky high, that day, the next day, and the second and third day, hospitalizations for people with heart attacks, for respiratory problems, for pains in the chest go up dramatically and statistically significantly. This provides evidence that on days when air pollution is high, your body is injured, and especially in people that already have coexisting conditions, the chances you're being hospitalized or the chances you will die are dramatically increased. Now, the things that we've done in Albany, we've worked, for example, in the South End, demonstrating that along with DEC people and other investigators, that all those diesel trucks going by the South End on 787 are causing significant air pollution. And that is contributing to the respiratory diseases in the people that live there. I've been very involved in the Dunn Landfill, which is right up against the Rensselaer Public Schools. And the air pollution coming from there is somewhat different because it's a construction and demolition landfill. But nevertheless, it's odors, it's air pollution coming from dust as they cover the debris, and it contributes to disease. So there are lots of local problems in addition to Norlite and Lafarge that we need to deal with.
For people who want to get involved in raising awareness about air pollution and public health and the hazards that go along with air pollution, Would you have any advice for them?
Well, there are many sources of information on air pollution. I'll be happy to provide references to people if they want to email me at dcarpenter@albany.edu. We know air pollution is very hazardous to human health. What we really don't know well enough yet is how to reduce air pollution without dramatic changes in our way of life. Now, we need dramatic changes in our way of life. We need to get away from combustion of fossil fuels, which is the major cause of the generation of air pollution, and also is a major cause of climate change. So by reducing air pollution and combustion of fossil fuels, we can really make progress on these two very important efforts, preserving health of people from reducing air pollution and reducing the long-term threats of dramatic changes in our whole lifestyle from climate change.
Thank you so much.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
That was David Carpenter, a professor of environmental health sciences at the University at Albany and a public health physician.